Party people!
I should have brought my disco ball. What the hell?
Darn it, I have my disco ball literally hanging. I'm showing it to you right now on my wall. Wait, do you see it? Wait, where is it? There it is.
Oh my God. Was that there when I visited last year?
No, it was not. It was not.
I have to visit again.
You do have to visit again. Awesome. I've also got like a bunch more art that I've hung on my walls. I'm like definitely spreading out in here, and I got a new couch, so you know, living. But yeah, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Simply Amazing, this fabulously amazing Pride Month. Happy Pride. Happy Pride, happy Pride, everybody. How are you feeling, Lauren? Tell me about it.
Old.
Oh my God. Like, girl.
Because, you know, like when I was in college and stuff, you know, like when you celebrate Pride Month, you're like, oh my God, where are all the Pride parades and where are all the events to go to? And I'm here like, man, I'm just here doing normal things. Like, I feel like a bad queer person. Like, I feel like I need to go do more like specifically gay things.
Okay, first of all, you sound like an adult. And like,
boring.
Can we talk about like the only queer people who are like out celebrating every single day are like the ones on TV in TV shows, because that's not real. We are all adults. We have jobs. You're doing great is my point.
Oh, thank you. It's just I don't know. Like, I want to have fun, but I'm also tired.
I mean, welcome to adulthood. That's literally like on the manual of adulthood, it says that. It's like, adulthood, I want to have fun, but I'm always tired.
Yes, that is 100% it. But I'm excited because my current boyfriend, so he's 100% straight, but he was super sweet because, like, out of nowhere, he's like, oh, my friend told me about these Pride events. Do you want to go? And I was like, I hadn't even looked at Pride events yet. Oh, my God, I'm terrible. Yes, I would love to go. I don't know how many I can make, but yes, please.
Listen, the only thing you are required to do during Pride is love yourself. So
it's true.
It's there true. You go. That's
that
for
is
everybody
the tea
out
for
there.
Everyone.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. For literally for everybody out there, because people have social anxieties and people have issues and they're like, well, I'm not doing. No. Just be, love yourself and be good to yourself and be kind to yourself. And that's all you have to do.
I think that's it. You know, especially people that, you know, are not out of the closet yet, or you're kind of in this weird area where you don't know really what's going on and you're having, you know, trouble processing things or what have you, there's no expectation. If you see people out there doing one thing and you're like, I don't know about that, don't worry about it, because like, just do what makes you happy. There's no one way to have pride or to show pride or to live in your own pride. Just do what works best for you and doesn't hurt others. And it's all great.
Amen. Absolutely. I totally agree. And that kind of segues very nicely into what we're talking about this week, which is actually, sorry about it, guys, but we are doing a repost. But this is a great episode, and there's a reason why we want to show it again. And it's because it's Pride Month, and this really is, when it comes to Kurt, this is like the Pride issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. This one, I remember this was an issue that I hadn't thought much about until Lisa brought to my attention. And then once I read it, I was like, yep, this is perfect. I feel terrible about overlooking this, because it's a great one. And I think too, in general, like, Kurt is a great example of, you know, an ally. And I know some people would say, well, he can't be an ally because he's not, you know, he's definitely on the spectrum, or, you know, he's in the community, which I also headcanon. So like, whatever, but like, you know, I think, you know, Kurt is just such a great character. You know, he's a great character to go to during Pride as well, and any other time, because he doesn't just celebrate Pride 1 month a year. He has Pride all the time, and he completely normalizes it. And I think he's a great example of how many of us want to be and how it is helpful to be. And you know, he's also just the kind of friend you want to have, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I totally agree. I mean, it's a great issue about intersectionality between, you know, like different types of I guess, like oppressed individuals. And it's also the comic book that we got our name from, Simply Amazing. And it has that great speech, one of my favorite things that Kurt's ever said, about, you know, how he just reminds himself he is quite simply amazing. And I think that that's an important message that we all need to remember, is that every single person out there, you are amazing no matter what, and don't let anyone tell you any different. And I need to tell myself that a lot, because We all go through it. Am I right? We all go through it. So, yeah, but this is our Pride episode from last year that we just wanted to share again because it was it's just an important issue and it's a fun issue to do.
Just said the Goral.
Thank you. Goral is a way of life. It's not girl, it's Goral. And it's not gender. Goral is a way of life.
It is a way of life. I totally agree. I use girl like people use dude. And some people are like, don't call me girl. And it's like, well, don't call me dude then. I mean, well,
and,
you know.
And
like,
specifically, the Goral said that way. It's terribly inspired by Gru's voice from Despicable Me. He's like, okay, Gorals, go to bed. So
that's a totally different read than I was expecting.
It's something goofy I say with my siblings in our house. Like, we're just like, yes, Goral. And then when somebody's like, did you just call me a girl? We're like, no, Goral. Goral is a lifestyle, okay? It's a state of mind.
Hey, here we go. Judge Lauren dropping it. Girl is a statement. It's a way of life. And welcome to everybody to Simply Amazing, the fabulous, the best, number one. I'm going to go ahead and say it. We are the number one Nightcrawler podcast in the world.
100%.
I mean, like, listen, if you're out there listening and you can find a better one, just show it to me because there's no better than us right now. And I say that with confidence because we're the only one. So that helps.
And how does that happen? I mean, everybody has a podcast for everything. Like, I don't know, but like it's nice we don't have a lot of competition, but also bring it on.
I've gotten into a couple conversations recently, like in Discords and stuff, where people are like, really? It's a Nightcrawler podcast? Like, all you do is talk about Nightcrawler? It's like, yeah, that's literally all we do. And we've been doing it now over 6 months. We're going to be hitting a year in September. Like,
that's wild. That's absolutely wild.
I'm having a great time, though. I'm enjoying every minute of it. And of course, this is our Pride episode. We have your friendly neighborhood bi and your friendly neighborhood ally here.
Let's go.
I came up with that hours ago and I was like, oh my God, that's hilarious.
I love it. We're roaming the streets. We're here to help at any corner. You know, it's what we do. It's what heroes do.
Amen. And I want to, before we get into the intros and everything, I want to point out that we are raising money for the Trevor Project. We have we have two shirt designs, and you know what? Whatever money we make from both of them, we're going to send to the Trevor Project. We've got an amazing shirt that was designed by me and Chango XTC, actually did the art for it. And it's Juggernaut and Black Tom, and it says, not just buddies, brah.
I love it.
Which is actually a Lauren quote from one of our episodes. And then we have our awesome Banff shirt. So every single cent, every single penny goes to the Trevor Project. So please go check it out. Check out our website for that.
Yes. But if you don't know, the Trevor Project's a really awesome organization for LGBTQ youth and all that stuff. They do a lot of great work. You know, they've been around for quite a while now. I knew, like, even in high school, like, you know, I remember them being around when I was still coming out and stuff. So yes, buy cool shirts, donate money that way. It's a great time. And send us pics on.
Yeah. Send us pics. Absolutely. 100%. I'm going to be posting myself wearing them. I love how you're like, Trevor Project was important when I was in high school. It's like, we didn't have the Trevor Project when I was in high school because I went to high school fucking a long time ago.
They were barely around when I was in high school. I mean, my age group, it was weird because now we're so used to like gays everywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still male initiatives, it's everywhere. But back then it was just starting to become more talked about.
Oh yeah. I remember when I was in high school, they just were getting started, like they were just starting to talk about having like a gay lesbian alliance like club in the school. Yeah. So yeah, that's how old I am. I'm fucking old. I go way back. Anyway. I am Nocturne, guys, the OG Nocturne, a.k.a. Lisa, a.k.a. your girl. And yeah, I'm joined, of course, by my amazing co-host, the fabulous, the one and only.
I am Lauren, your friendly neighborhood bi. And Lisa picked out another really great issue this week that we wanted to focus on specifically because of its elements relating to, you know, Pride Month and Pride in general. And supporting the community, intersectionality, Lisa mentioned earlier, which is one of my favorite words that is not talked about properly always. So I'm really excited to talk about this.
No, this is a great episode. So for those of you out there who have not read our title, which I'm sure is going to be this, we're talking about Amazing X-Men number 13. This is from 2013. This is a great issue, like you were saying, for intersectionality, for pride, for all those things. But another great thing about this issue is this is where we got our name from. So we'll get to that and we'll talk about that. That's where Simply Amazing comes from.
Our name comes from one of the gayest issues. You're welcome, guys. We did it. We did it.
One of the gayest issues starring Nightcrawler, which there's not a whole lot of gay issues starring Nightcrawler. So this is...
And that's honestly homophobic. At Marvel, do better.
No, listen, I think the only thing gayer that Marvel has published of with Nightcrawler in it is that Wolverine... cover, which we should do an entire episode just about that cover, because that is so, it's iconic. I feel like anytime anyone talks about like any kind of slash relationships, it's that cover is always comes up because it's so iconic. And it's just like it's amazing that nobody at Marvel was like wow, this is really gay. Is that our intention for this cover? Unless they were like, let's go for it.
Well, I think it's funny because, and you know, when we do an episode, talk about, but just because you mentioned it, I think so many of the Marvel editors and office, they're like, this looks really macho masculine, print it. And they didn't realize how homoerotic it is. Or maybe there was somebody in the office that did, and they're like, so I want this homoerotic shit published. I'm going to act like it's really macho as fuck. So they publish it. And it worked. Whatever happened, they published it.
It's, if you haven't seen it, basically, Wolverine is sitting at a table and he's got a beer on the table, and the beer is just placed so perfectly that it could be his dick. Like, it really could. And then Nightcrawler's just fucking naked in front of him, which,
and for what reason?
No one knows. And you know what the best part is? The interior issue is a totally different artist. It's Derek Robertson did the interior. I don't remember who did the cover, because when we cover this issue, we'll get to it. But the whole of the interior is Kurt's a fuck as a priest, and they're like chatting as BFFs. So it's just fucking brilliant. I love it. Anyway, let's get to this issue.
As a lesbian say, that's some super core shit. All right.
Next. Yes, let's get to this issue. So we have Amazing X-Men number 13. James Tynion is the writer. And this is like, I think, one of his only works for Marvel.
He has not done a lot for Marvel at all. And
yeah, who knows? I really want to say that.
But I don't blame him.
I mean, he's like in charge of the entire Bat everything, isn't he? DC right now? No, what is he doing? He's in charge of something. He's doing something big with DC, I know.
No, not anymore, really. He does Nice House on the Lake. That's his, which is Black Label. But past that, he wrote Batman for a bit. That run was very, you either loved it or hated it. There was a much middle. Somebody else has been on the book for a while. Zdarsky's picking up Batman now. So, no, he's not really in charge of anything at DC anymore, other than he does Nice House on Lake. And then most of the other stuff he's doing is indie. So he does a lot of indie work. Something's Killing the Children, which is an Image book.
Got it. Okay. Fair. So I was completely wrong. Thank you for that one. I don't know where I got that idea. I don't pay attention to anything DC, period. Like, at all.
For a while, he was writing quite a bit of DC, so I don't blame you. He did Justice League Dark and Batman and a couple other things. It's just that time, that era has passed, I guess.
Gotcha. I mean, like, I'm going to be real. I stopped reading DC stuff, like, after Blackest Night. That's how long it's been for me and DC. that was the end of DC for me. It wasn't like a bad thing. It wasn't like I decided. It was just, I don't know. I just moved on. Whatever. Anyway, so yeah, James Tynion, George or Jorge Jimenez is here. I didn't look up pronunciation of all that stuff. I did look up pronunciation of Anole, because I was like, I'm not going to go through this damn episode trying to figure out how to say Anole, or if it's Anole or whatever else. No, it's Anole. I looked it up. I actually went on Google, and like, you can have Google say it to you, and it's Anole. Yes. So the issue, it's called Charm School. The whole concept of this issue basically is it's starring the three main characters of this issue are Anole, Nightcrawler, and Jean-Paul Barbier, aka Northstar. So this issue starts out with a young blonde boy is waiting at, you know, he's waiting with a cup of tea or something at like a Starbucks or something like that in Chelsea, waiting for Vic to come, and Vic does not show up.
Oh, Vic. Oh.
I know, because he's okay. So yeah, we'll get into the intersectionality about the in a minute, but like, it's just, you know, he's a character who he's gay and he's got a physical mutation. So it's like, mm-hmm. he's, you know, he's trying to meet the right person. He wants to go on dates, but then there's that like feeling of, you know, what, like, are they really going to like who I am? I think everybody can relate to this. If anybody out there has done online dating, I think we all can relate to that feeling of like, I know I put pictures up and I know I said what I looked like, or I said something, or, you know, whatever else. But like, when you go to actually meet that person, it's like, oh my God, what if they are disappointed by what they see? Like, that is a very universal, maybe I just have really low self-esteem, but I feel like that's a universal kind of.
It is. I mean, it is. I mean, unless, you know, you're just like, you know, completely egocentric or, you know, narcissist to the highest degree. I mean, even low-level narcissists, right, get insecure and stuff. And especially with online dating, because you haven't even met them, and then you have to worry about stranger danger and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I have my own personal story where basically I was going back and forth with this guy on, like, OkCupid or Match or one of those fucking things. And we had the best rapport, and we had the best conversations, and he was so funny. And then we met, and I could tell the moment I walked in that, like, I was not what he was expecting. And yeah. And like, here's the best way to know that the person that you've met for a date is not interested in actually going on that date with you is when you sit down at the table at the restaurant and they hand the menu back to the waitress and say, oh no, we're having drinks. No food. And I'm like, okay, wow. This is going to be short. Yeah. I'm like, okay, that's this is going to be short. Yes. I mean, here's the thing though. Listen, I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and that's totally fine. And not everybody is my cup of tea. So, you know what? We all have our preferences. We all have our likes and dislikes, all that shit. No tea, no shade, no judgment on that. However, you know, I felt like I was pretty forthcoming with my pictures. I don't know what he was expecting. Maybe it was just too much. Maybe it's just like, this
is... Probably intimidation. Let's be real. And I mean, imagine having that situation... But then, you know, you've also got, you know, let's say, you know, the person is gay or something. They expected a woman, or you're a dude or something. Like, it just, it's hard when you bring in all those other layers, because you're right. Just, you know, for anybody, those situations are hard and they suck. But then you add these other layers like, oh, well, they thought you were this gender or something. You're not that gender. You're a different gender. Oh, they thought you looked very human, but now you look like a fish. Oh, yeah, they don't know what to do with that. And that level of judgment, even if you're absolutely right, a lot of times we do this unconsciously, and everybody has a right to their own, what they're into and what they're not, but oh my God, like, there's a line that once that's crossed, it doesn't matter if it's intentional or not, it hurts.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And like, the one thing that I feel like is a little unclear in these first two pages is, so it appears that like Victor, he's there at the coffee shop. I feel like, was he wearing an image inducer? Like, I'm very confused about that part of it. Like, cause he seems to be there, and then all of a sudden everybody's like shocked to see him. And it's like, so was he wearing an image inducer while he was waiting? Or I don't know. That is unclear, but whatever, we can move on, cause there's more to the issue than just that. But you know, we got a Lady Masterminds, one of the, LMMs, is here, and it's
just
actually
as annoying as the original mastermind, like, just another piece of
shit. The worst. and here's the thing, we're going to talk a little bit about the ladies mastermind, because I've got some theories about them and their relationship with Kurt. We'll get there in a second. This issue has a lot to do with my feelings about their relationship with Kurt, but so this is, I just want to make it clear, this is Reagan Wingard. I'm just going to mention that right now, and we'll get into it later, and yeah. So Reagan's here, and she's about to fuck shit up, basically. She's like, she sees Victor. She's like, oh, he looks sad. He's someone I can play with. And so she's going to do that. But then we end up back at the Jean Grey School for Higher Learning. Guys, remember when it was called the Jean Grey School for Higher Learning?
How wild is that shit? And I mean, it's... So the artist on this book is Jorge Jimenez, and I really have loved his work on Batman. But it is this year, it's 2022. This book we're talking about, Amazing X-Men 13, came out in 2014. Jorge Jimenez's art has gotten so much better since this issue. And I say that with love. Again, I love Jimenez's art. He's such a sweetheart. Also, have you seen his Instagram? He's gorgeous. Anyways, the art for this issue is it's hard for me to really completely love.
So I think the one thing we want to keep in mind is this is definitely a fill-in issue. Like this is because so Amazing X-Men started around, I think, 2012-ish. And it started with Jason Aaron. It started with specifically the quest to find Nightcrawler and to bring him back to life. Like that was where it began. And I want to say that, like, so this is issue 13. So that's like, you know, your typical like your typical publishing plan is like a three to six issue plot or story, right? Six issues is a trade paperback. So this is like two trades and then they're putting in this story, which this story is a one shot. It has nothing to do with much of anything else. It is just a simple one shot. So I want to say that like there might be some lacking as far as like nuance in the art or like cleanliness in the art only because it was probably a fill-in and they had to get him in to do this. I might be talking out my ass. Who knows? I did not do enough. I spent way too much time researching how to say Anole and not enough researching anything else.
I mean, mood. But regardless, I mean, again, like, you know, artists are allowed to grow and the art isn't like unbearable, but you know, this next page we're on, like when you first see Kurt, I'm like, yeah, this is not my favorite drawing of Kurt, but it's also important to note that this is just when Kurt's barely been back to life after
he's
died.
He's still mostly made of worms, which is still...
We don't need to talk about that.
Thank God for the resurrection protocols because he could get a body that's not made of worms because, I mean, we're going to talk about that eventually. We're going to have to get to that, but not in this issue or not in this episode.
Thank God.
But yeah, so Kurt shows up to Jean-Paul's French class and everybody's getting massages and I kind of love it because it's just like this is just I do love North Star. I'm not like a super fan. Like I don't know a ton about him, but like I've always loved him when he's been written this way, which is this kind of pompous asshole. And it's just I love it. I mean, Austin wrote him like this and I loved it. It's one of the only things from Austin we loved. But yeah, it's just, you know, so he's having his massages and Kurt's like, all right, bitch, I need you over here. And he bamps him away. And of course, North Star is like, now my pants are going to smell like shit for weeks. Get tied, girl. Cause like, listen, you know what I mean? Like, do you not wash your clothes? I'm just like, okay.
It's a stink, man. Kind of like you said, the brimstone dimension, like it, you, no matter how many times you wash it, you're gonna have to bleach it. And you got black pants. I mean, How do they think Kurt lives? He finds a way.
Exactly, number one. And number two, okay, without going into details, many of us have been in situations where we have been surrounded by, let's say, smoke of a nature that's very pungent, and we need to make sure our parents don't smell it. And you know what? Febreze. I mean, Jean-Paul, you live in the 21st century. Febreze is a thing.
He probably thinks he's too good for Febreze. He's like, I'm not going to just go to CVS or Walgreens or whatever and just buy a can of Febreze. Why would I do such a thing? I am above that.
I mean, then maybe he needs to deal with it. I mean, he works with children. Like, you're going to smell eventually. It's going to happen. I'm sorry to say. But so basically the next page we get is So Nightcrawler's like, where the fuck's Anole? Like, he's not here. And he's like, I heard you gave him a pass to go to the city. Like, you understand how dangerous that is. And, you know, you should, he's got a visible mutation. He's a target. And Jean-Paul takes this very personally because, of course, like, Jean-Paul as a gay man is like, he takes it personally in a way like, how dare you talk to me about, you know, being a target or being, you know, something like I as if I wouldn't understand that. And I think this is where like the intersectionality really comes in, because the idea of this whole issue is that Victor needs both someone who understands his gay side as well as someone who understands his visible mutation side, really, in order to kind of come to terms with the situation and move on. Because, you know, as much as North Star is like, yeah, well, I'm gay and he's gay and we get along. It's like, but North Star, like, bitch, you're pretty good looking. Like, you're not a green troll.
Yeah. I mean, it's the desire that, okay, great. You accept me for being gay. Hell, you even embrace it. That's wonderful. But when it comes down to this other part of me, like even just the physical, you still don't accept that. And so it doesn't, at that point, I imagine it doesn't matter at that point whether or not he's accepted for being gay. You still don't accept this other thing. So, you know, you have to accept every aspect, not just the one that you can identify with and the one that you understand. North Star, like you said, understands the gay aspect. He doesn't understand the physical mutation aspect.
Exactly. And like I understand his anger at Kurt in that moment where it's just like, but at the same time, you know, there are certain things that you're never going to face, like Jean-Paul. There's just certain things you're just never going to face. It doesn't matter. And, you know, of course, in this case, Kurt, no, even though Kurt is not gay and he's, I mean, that's up for a debate with a lot of Logurt shippers. But even though he's not gay, this is something that he understands much better than North Star does. And so when we move back to Chelsea, can I just say this? I miss Rockslide so much. This issue reminded me of how much I love Rockslide and his relationship with Anole. They're so fucking adorable together. I miss him so much. Bring him back. I don't know. Whatever gate he is now, we don't need it. Bring him back. But so yeah, him and Rockslide are chatting. And of course, we see a lot of people reacting to Victor as he's walking down the street. And they all are kind of reacting with disgust. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think a lot of this has to do with Lady Mastermind. Let me tell you, I grew up going to New York City a lot, and it takes a lot to it takes a lot to get New Yorkers to stare at somebody. It really fucking does. So I have a feeling this is a lot more of Lady Mastermind's work in getting that. And all of a sudden, so JP shows up and he's like, you know, he takes Santos's phone and is like, hey, Victor, what the fuck's going on? You got this blue asshole on my ass. So, and I don't like it like that. So you better fucking tell me about something or why you're not here. Because apparently Victor said he was going to go meet up with a friend from school. And right. It was actually he was going to meet for this date. And he wasn't very forthcoming about that stuff. Mm-hmm. So in the process of his conversation, all of a sudden, like, five versions of the guy he was going to date named Gnome. Interesting choice for name. I mean, was Mike not good? I don't know. Gnome is an interesting choice.
Not.
I'm just saying Gnome. The only Gnome I know is Gnomey Malone, and she's the only one that matters. So, but basically, anyway, so all of a sudden there's 1,000 gnomes and they're all like, you know, you're gross, you're disgusting, you want to kiss me, your skin feels gross, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, of course, Anole is young. He's a kid. He's, you know, he's younger. And he's just not able to really handle that, you know. And I'm sure that, see, this is another interesting thing that I'm going to ask you about. Mm-hmm. What do you think about, like, so, because there's another level of this here where, so Kurt was born the way he looked. And he was raised that way. He doesn't know any different.
Right.
And I can't imagine how tough it is for someone who was not born that way and suddenly to have their entire body just kind of change completely into something. I mean, I don't want to say grotesque, I guess you can say. I mean, I wouldn't call Anole grotesque, but, you know, in a lot of ways, like, doesn't look human. He's like reptile. And I imagine that in itself is very hard to deal with.
So his situation is a lot more extreme, but I imagine it's a more extreme version of what's like when we go through puberty, right? Because we're born a mm-hmm. certain way. And as a teenager, you start getting acne. I mean, we also get physical deficiencies, but, you know, they're more seen as normal. But when you're a teenager, you don't care if acne is normal to have as a teenager. You're like, oh my God, I'm hideous. And you know, people go to great extents, even as adults, but especially when you're a teenager, you know, to cover it up with makeup or, you know, you get bullied for having acne and stuff. When again, it is completely normal, which is even worse. So imagine where there is no normalcy to Anole's look. And you're absolutely right. Like, and are, you know, walking around other humans, there is no normalcy on any level to looking more reptilian or whatever. So, Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. It's hard as hell. And, you know, there's a lot of, I think, again, even though this is a more extreme version that us as humans probably can't identify with as much, I think a lot of us can still identify with the theme behind it. Like, you know, I have a brother who he used to eat whatever he wanted. And then we found out that he has this really rare disease, like super rare, where he can't eat certain things now or he'll throw up. And so he got used to eating all these wonderful things for years. And now he just can't do it. And that was taken from him, you know, like because of the situation. So, and I know that's been hard on him. So yeah, I can only imagine for a Noel how hard it is. And then you can't escape it. You know, you cannot hide that, you know, you can't hide how you look unless again, you use like an image inducer, which is interesting that that's never discussed. In this issue, like it's interesting. He never thought, well, I think I heard Kurt use an image inducer. Let me go like try to like steal one from the danger room or something, you know?
You know what, though? I got to be honest. I mean, the image inducer is a bit of a deus ex machina. Like it's just, you know, it's. We do have to do the episode, The Big Dare, one of these days. We haven't done it yet. We have to do that one. That's the one where Logan dares Kurt to walk without his image inducer. And I think like. The issue with the image inducer is that it's just, it makes it too easy. Like, unless you have a story, I don't know, I get what you're saying. You're totally right. It would have made sense for him to get an image inducer for this. But at the same time, like, unless you have a story to tell around that image inducer, I don't love the idea of it always being available and always being around.
No, I agree. And it would make sense to me that at this point in time, those wouldn't be available because, you know, yeah, when the early X-Men comics were out, that was still something explored. But I imagine by 2014, right, especially in Jean Grey's Institute, that's something that wasn't explored in terms of, no, that's not an option. We don't want you to hide who you are. We're going to teach you, you know, that it's okay to love yourself. And if somebody puts you through hell, you let us know and we'll back you up. We'll figure out what to do. Yeah, that you're absolutely right. I mean, I guess it's not that I would want that in the storyline. So it's probably better, like you said, narratively that was not done. And I'm sure Tynion, because here's the thing too, Tynion, to my knowledge, is gay, I think, unless I'm wrong on that. So you have a LGBTQ writer writing this story, which also makes a lot of sense. And so I could see him going, yeah, I'm not using that old narrative. Like, get the fuck, no image inducer. That sucks. You know.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've seen anyone use the image inducer, I feel like. The thing I can only think back to is like, I don't know, it's been a long time. So moving on to the next page, I kind of love how this page starts where is Kurt just interviewing everybody at the Institute? Like, is he in charge of making sure they're not overpaying people? Because he just seems like he's talking to Dupe now and he's like, what do you do here exactly? And the answer to that is Dupe gives good dick. That's what he does. That is literally canon. Dupe is like a fuck master.
He is.
I didn't make this up. It is fucking canon. I'm pretty sure he fucked Wolverine. Like, Dupe is everybody's boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever you want to call it, because I don't really even know what Dupe's exact gender is. I don't think Dupe has a gender.
Here's the thing. Nobody knows anything about Dupe's character except a couple things. And one of the things is that he's a fuckmaster, basically, without any way of putting it. And he literally taught, like, sex education, essentially, at this school. Like, that was literally what he did, which I think's fucking rad. That's fantastic.
I love it. I'm a big Dupe fan because I loved X-Factor and X-Statics way, way back in the day. Like, those were some of my favorite comics when I first started reading. I loved them so much. So now North Star is on his way to go get Enole, and Nightcrawler's like, I'm coming. And he's like, and North Star's like, no, you're not. And he's like, well, if I don't come, then I'm just going to bamf all around you until you smell like shit. So how about it? So that's how they end up heading to New York City. It's just more bullshit from Lady Mastermind. She's being terrible to Victor. I mean, poor Enole.
What the hell's new?
I mean, she's just being awful. And
she's like, she's making him like obviously see things and then being like, haha, but you can't have this. And then he's running and he's all sad as hell. But then North Star comes in and punches.
Yes.
Yes, North Star. Yes.
He comes in and punches But, like, he punches, like, her. It's not her he's punching. He's just kind of, like, punching, like, her.
It's an master, illusion of.
Her illusion. There we go. Her illusions. They're not magic tricks. They're illusions. So, yeah, he's punching the illusions. Kurt's like, what the fuck's going on? This is weird. And Lady Mastermind then singles right on him and makes him think he's back, like, in Germany with his cute little, I don't know, he's, like, all ripped up little pants. And he's, like, a little baby Kurt.
Baby Kurt.
And, oh, yeah, it's, so she's just, like, fucking things up. And he's like, I'm a man. And I don't know, for some reason, like, an Azazel-looking Wolverine thing shows up, which is, like, I don't understand what that is, but okay, I'll take it. And the thing I forgot to mention was before Kurt and Northstar left, Kurt was like, I need my swords. And I'm like, bitch, get it. Yes! Who does not love a fucking sword, right?
Yes, and the best part is that he goes, an illusion? I knew the swords would come in handy. Yes, sir! Absolutely.
Yes, he's just, like, cutting right through that bullshit, like, literally. And then, of course, on the opposite side of things, Northstar is also being fucked up by Lady Mastermind because he, all of a sudden, Kyle is there, and Kyle's like, I don't want anything to do with you. And then Aurora shows up, and Bobby shows up, and is like, you're gross, you're unbearable, we don't love you, we hate you, whatever. And then Kurt shows up and is basically like, you're disgusted, your life disgusts me, you inflict it on children. But then Kurt is, his head is cut off by real Kurt, because that's fake Kurt. Yes,
real Kurt does not tolerate homophobic fake Kurt. Unacceptable. He does not tolerate him.
Yes, he is like, nope, enough of that bullshit. And then they have like this moment, which is like, okay, you're in the middle of a battle. You don't have to have this moment, but it's cute, where, you know, Kurt's like, first of all, Kurt is like, it's one of Mastermind's daughters, Martinique Wingard. Now, it is Reagan, 100%. It's not Martinique. However, I don't know if James Tinian screwed it up or if Kurt screwed it up. And I like to think that Kurt did. I like to think that he's like, it's one of those bitches. I don't know. Martinique, Reagan. I don't know. It's one of those bitches. It's one of those Mastermind bitches. So I kind of like the idea that he's like, whatever. It's one of those stupid Mastermind girls.
Right. And this moment here, like, yeah, it's a middle battle. But I think this is one of the biggest points of this issue. And one of my favorite moments, but especially as a Nightcrawler fan, but in general, you know, especially for Pride, where, you know, at this point in time, it had been established that Kurt was essentially a priest, a big part of the church, and we see here Northstar internalized that, and so, you know, Kurt's like, Jean-Paul, do you really think so little of me? And Jean-Paul goes, well, we were never close, and Kurt said, you always kept your distance, I respected that. And then, you know, Jean-Paul brings up the elephant in the room and the church. And mm-hmm. Kurt's like, Jean-Paul, listen to me. I've been to heaven. I remember you there fighting beside me. That is all that matters. So this is a really good moment for both of them because, you know, it shows that, you know, we can't. And I think it's important for us in the community to remember that we can't assume things of people that are religious and stuff, number one. I know I'm guilty of that, being like, oh, well, this person's super religious. They probably have underlying homophobic intentions or thoughts or feelings. And that's not always the case. And two, it's really great because Kurt doesn't justify himself or he doesn't try to defend the church or his religion. He simply says, I know you are good in his own way, right? To him, that means going to heaven. And so he's said that. You know, and said, look, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what a Bible says or what I think a God says or what you think a God says. This is the fact I know. And that's it. And I just thought that was a really nice moment because it was a quick way to have that discussion that had, you know, especially for Jean-Paul, it seemed like he'd been wanting to have with Kurt for so long, but never felt he could. And it was taken care of just like that.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
And it was nice to see.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, you know, one thing to consider is, like, Jean-Paul and Kurt are very different in a lot of ways. And I don't know that they're two characters who would ever be friends. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're colleagues. They're work acquaintances. They're just not the kind of characters that I would ever be like, oh, yeah, no, they're BFFs. This totally makes sense. So it makes sense. He's like, you kept your distance, and I respected it. Like, it has nothing to do with you or who you love or who you are. It's just we're just two different people. And we don't, like, it's okay if we don't, we're not friends. Mm-hmm. It's totally fine. But it doesn't mean I don't respect you. It doesn't mean that I don't, you know, like you. It's just, you know, we're just not close. And that's fine. And then, of course, they're going to get back into the battle and take out Lady Mastermind. And North Star really tries to, like, to connect with Enole and be like, I've been there. I know where you are. I know what you're going through. Like, I'm going to help you. And this is where, like, that intersectionality comes in, because Victor is like, you have no fucking idea what it's like to be me. Like, like, you are gorgeous and beautiful, and I am a fucking scaly, gross thing. And of course, that is just feeding into Lady Mastermind. And she is just, you know, giving him more and more reasons to hate himself, and showing him more and more, like, visages of himself, like, as this disgusting thing that is, like, pulling off skin and all this stuff. And, you know, he just goes off and off about on North Star, like, how could you, like, you're a movie star, you're gorgeous, how could you possibly know what I am going through? And this is where Kurt comes in and is like, hey, but, like, I might know a thing or two about being a monster, like, or feeling like a monster. Like, what do you think? And this is where they have one of my favorite interactions in comics ever, and which is where we get our name, where Kurt basically is like, you know, it's always difficult. It's always going to be difficult. There's no easy out of this. There's no, like, you know, this is something that you have to come to terms with, because the rest of the world is going to treat you a certain way no matter what. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you need to find a way to see how great you are. And so I'm just going to read it verbatim, where, he's saying basically, like, I look like a demon. I'm strange. Like, my hands are strange. My touch is alien. And Victor basically says, how did you deal with it? And he said, one day I had an important realization. I remembered that I am quite simply amazing. TM, TM. There is no one in the world like me. No one with my experiences. No one with my particular opinions. My troubles, they simply make me stronger. They've given me other tools to work with. I just want to point out, like, this is something every single person should read and like, internalize, because we all are. Like, we're all uniquely us. There's no other person in the world that has the same experiences, the same everything as us. Each one of us is unique in its own right. And there's pride in that in and of itself. There's pride in being who you are unapologetically, and just, you know, saying, this is me, world. Own it. You can like me or you can leave me, but I'm me, and I'm not going to change for anybody. And yeah, he says, I am fully, entirely me, and I'm quite fond of that me. I wouldn't want to be anyone else, not for a moment. And then he asks, well, did you get the girl? Of course. I mean, Kurt's gotten plenty of tail, quite literally. So, yeah.
Right. And it's like you said, it's just such a nice moment that is both, you know, it's uplifting. It can be seen as cheesy, but it's, that one page is just written so well. I think Tanya nailed on the head. And he really also captured Kurt there and what he would say, because Kurt knows he can't say something that will magically make everything better, but he can remind, you know, this kid essentially that, hey, like, I've been there, and at some point you're going to be where I am, which is realizing that you're great despite all this fucking bullshit you're going to deal with, and you are going to find love should you want it. Like, it's going to happen.
And I think the important thing to take out of all of this is, like, you know, it might take time, and it, you know, you're going to find the right person eventually. It's, I mean, I feel like we all need this to hear this, but, like, you know, just because you've been through a bunch of duds, or you keep meeting people who aren't into you or aren't interested in who you are, doesn't mean you should change who you are. It means you just need to keep looking and stay authentic. There's nothing more attractive to another person than someone who is, like, 100% authentically confident in who they are and knows who they are. That is something that is what's attractive. And that's what makes Kurt attractive in a lot of ways, is, like, he is who he is, and he is never going to apologize for it. It's like, yeah, I'm blue and I'm furry and I smell. Like, what do you want? Like, sorry about it, you know?
Yeah, so eventually, you know, this lady mastermind bitch, whatever, she ends up basically, you know, revealing her actual goal, which is garbage. I don't even think it's worth acknowledging, but basically it really had nothing to do with the kid in the first place. And then she literally says it. She goes, "I don't care about that boy." And then up from right behind her, Vic goes, "Yeah, well, the feeling's mutual," and just a great punch to the face that the bitch deserved. I mean, it's just pure comics right there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I love how they're like, "We're gonna call S.H.I.E.L.D., pick this bitch up, and then we're gonna go back to school." And it's funny, like, you know, oh, North Star is the one who's like, "Hey, it's a school night. I don't think you can stay," because Vic wanted to stay in the city and do something. And Kurt's the one who's like, "We'll bend a rule. Let him stay. Let him do his thing." And yeah, he ends up going out and meeting up with Gnome and sees him. And actually, Gnome doesn't like hate him. He's like, "Yeah, let's get a coffee. Like, why not?" And it's just like, I mean, granted, Gnome's pissed off at first because he's like, I literally came into the city to meet you, bitch, and you stood me up. And that seems to be his biggest issue, is like that he was stood up more than, you know, more than whatever. But I don't know. It's very cute. It's, you know, they go and like they have their little coffee. And in my mind, Nightcrawler takes Lady Mastermind. They have some hate sex and then drops her off a S.H.I.E.L.D. So, because I don't know.
The hot villain blondes. I mean, what's Kurt supposed to do? Not do that?
He loves a hot blonde. And especially if that hot blonde is evil. Like, it's just like, it's fucking can't. It's like cocaine for him. It's just, he needs it all the time. He loves a hot evil blonde. I don't know. I got this whole thing in my head from listening to Cerebro. And like, this was a while ago, because they covered the ladies mastermind a while ago. And I remember Nightcrawler coming up during that episode, and like the whole idea of like, he would definitely fuck them and they would definitely fuck him, but none of them would admit to it. Like, they'd be like, no, gross. I would never fuck them. But they're, like, definitely having hate sex behind something. So, yeah. I'm all down for that. Like,
yeah, I think that would be hilarious. But all said, I mean, this is a cute issue that I like it because, even though, yes, it's a one-shot and a filler issue in its own right, it tackles and talks about subjects that are often hard to do without being too on the nose the whole time, which I appreciate. Tynion did a good job with, you know, the one issue he had to work with to tell the story in.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I will say that whole little Simply Amazing speech is something that so I think we talked about this a little bit before, but during COVID, which was a tough time for everybody, right? We're all like kind of stuck in our houses. We can't do anything. We don't know what's going on. And, you know, we're trying our best. And this little speech was something that I would repeat to myself over and over again when I was feeling like the hardest time. It's like, I remember I am quite simply amazing. And it's like, there is no one like me. I am uniquely me. And I don't know why, it just kept coming back to me. And I guess that's eventually why this ended up being the name of the podcast, because it just was over and over and over again. It just seemed to like make sense. But yeah, it's a very heartfelt issue. It's very cute. It does a very good job of showing that intersectionality of like, you know, it's not everyone, that no matter how alike you are to somebody else, you're not going to have the same experiences, and you might not necessarily be the one to help them. So, you know, it's kind of that. I love this issue. I'm really glad we did it. We did this. I think it's super cute and super fun. And yeah, I totally recommend everyone go read it, especially all those Enola fans out there.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I didn't really know Enola until I read this issue at all. So I'm all on board with Team Enola.
There's not much. I don't think there's much else about Enola, to be perfectly honest.
#Justice for Enola.
Justice for Enola. Oh my god. I don't know. Does Enola need justice? Like, everybody's telling me. You guys, let us know. Does Enola need justice?
They did this. They did this issue and then put him back in the closet. It sounds like that's not acceptable. Gay rights.
Well, I mean, he's still gay, but he's probably in a closet somewhere. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Enola's the kind of kid.
Where is
he?
Where is Enola?
Enola's the kind of kid who like walks into a closet and can't find his way out. I totally believe that.
Oh, poor Anole.
No, justice for Anole. Justice for Anole. We love him. Justice for Anole. Anyway, well, thank you guys for coming back and enjoying us for this fabulous Pride episode. Yeah, if you have not read this issue, please read it. It is so fun. It is so cute. And yeah, you get that cute speech by Nightcrawler, which I would say for any of you out there who are struggling with anything, just print it out and put it on your mirror and look at it every single day. Honestly, and remember that. Yes.
Yeah,
right?
100%. And, you know, if you guys have any other, moments that you might call Pride moments that involve Kurt or anything, or even just other X-Men ones, let us know, tweet them at us because we want to see them. We want to talk about it. We
absolutely
want to know about them. Because all the X-Men are gay. That's just a fact. I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, probably. Let's be real. I mean, here's the thing. Even if they weren't before they became X-Men, they've been living in that school long enough. Everybody starts fucking everybody.
It's well, and listen, happens. They're mutants. They're technically a species above us. And we all forget this because up until this Krakoan era, especially, the mutants have basically been written as humans, but with powers. But they're literally a species above us. Evolutionarily. So, like, why wouldn't their view on sexuality and gender and stuff evolve beyond what ours is? It wouldn't start that way if they're like, look, we're in the human world, but like...
See, this is an interesting thing you bring up because, like, whereas they are... See, this is definitely a topic for another episode because the idea, like, are mutants another species? Are they the next evolution in our species? Like, where does it... Because the thing is like, they're not a fully other species because they can reproduce with humans. So they can't possibly be a completely full other species. But, and then the other side of it goes to, like, you know, it's that nature versus nurture, right? So even if they are a whole other species or this next evolutionary step species, they're still socialized as humans, especially when they're young. So it's like...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're like, not wrong.
They can evolve now that they have Krakoa. Oh, yeah. I mean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Krakoa is evolving them in lots of ways. That is for sure.
There's a lot of evolving happening in close quarters and probably right in the middle of Krakoa. We just don't get it on page.
You know what I really would love to see? I want a one shot, and I want that one shot to be about Rachel Summers. And it's just her, like, at the bar with Blob, at the tiki bar. And Blob just keeps refilling her drink because she's just like, every night I go to bed and I hear my parents fucking Logan and I can't do it anymore. Every night.
Well, and then Blob just randomly encourages her on like one of the last times, like the fifth time this is happening, like the fifth night she's complaining. He's like, why don't you just go fuck all the women that want to be fucked by you? I mean, just get them back if anything and have fun doing it. And she's like, you know what, that's a great idea, Blob. And then that's what leads into her fucking all the women on Krakoa and being a stud. Here for it. We've made the story, Marvel.
Listen, Connor from Cerebro said it best when he said that she needs to be the Shane from the L Word of Krakoa and just be crushing that puss, because I totally agree. 100%. Like, get this girl in. Get this girl doing something.
Get her in as many women as possible. I mean, what?
Mm-hmm.
This is what happens when we bring up Rachel on this podcast. We lose our shit.
We really do. Like, like, here's the thing. I'm not gay. But for Rachel, though, I don't know. I mean, that makes me question things because Rachel is hot. I actually really... I have this, like, idea in my head that I'm eventually going to do a classic Excalibur Rachel Summers cosplay, like, with the whole hound outfit.
Do it.
And the mullet haircut. I just need to commit to getting a mullet.
Or just get a really crazy wig.
That's true. I could do that too. Well, guys, again, I guess we'll let the Rachel talk be the end of our Pride episode.
It's not a Pride episode if we don't talk about Rachel Summers.
Oh, girl. Here's my question. Do we need to do a Rachel episode for the month of June? Because it's a lot to talk about. She did date Nightcrawler. In a very interesting decision on both her
part. I don't want to talk about that during Pride Month. I want to talk about what she should be doing now.
That's true. Okay. We'll figure it out. We got lots of stuff to talk about anyway in the interim. And don't worry, we'll get to Rachel. We are going to get to Rachel. We'll probably do several episodes on Rachel just because she's fucking amazing and has a lot of connection to Kurt in a lot of different ways. Yeah. So, Lauren, where can they find you?
I was going to say she can connect with me in a lot of ways. You all can find me. And Rachel Summers, if you are real and listening, you can also find me on Twitter at FriendlyMBHDBI. Come bother me. It's Pride Month. Like, send me gay shit. Even if I don't know you, my DMs are open. Have at it. Like, let's go.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Her DMs are open. You hear that, everybody? Ladies, gentlemen, and everybody in between. Her DMs
are
open.
They heard it once, Lisa. They heard it once.
I'm just saying. I'm trying to be a good wingman or wingwoman, as it were. Yeah, if you want to come bother me, you can find me at the OG Nocturne, and that's NACHTRUNE. Did I spell that right? I think so, yeah. Whatever. Yes. You'll figure it out. And then, of course, we have our fabulous website where all of our links to everything is, simplyamazingpod.com. You can find our links to our Twitter, our Instagram, our Twitch, our Facebook, also to our new shop, where, again, everything that is sold this month is going to donate. We're going to donate to the Trevor Project. So please buy yourself a Juggernaut and a Black Tom shirt like I did. Buy yourself a Bamf shirt like I did. Yeah, I bought it all. So please do go enjoy. Get yourselves. Show us what you look like in it. We want to see you wearing it. And like I said, again, every single cent is going to go to the Trevor Project. So it's a fantastic way to support Pride and support people in general this month. Yeah. And yeah, we'll be back next week with another fantastic episode. If you like us, review us, rate us, tell us you love us. If you don't, I don't know. Keep your mouth shut. We don't need to hear from you. It's okay. Actually, you know, if you don't love us, tell us too, because I want to hear about it. I want to know. I want to know what people don't like about me. All right. So maybe
press is good press. Depending.
Well, that's it. And maybe honestly, if people can tell me what they don't like about me, and I can add it to my Match profile and be like, "Hey, hated for these reasons." Right. I'm waving my gavel around.
I was gonna say, I want people to know that as you were saying this, you were waving your gavel, like being very threatening.
I am very threatening. This gavel. This gavel, this is from when I was an auctioneer, ladies and gentlemen. I used to be an auctioneer, so.
Listen, anyway. I just think that you should have that right next to you in the bedroom. So if anybody messes up, gavel, ruling. You are doing garbage.
Oh, girl, that is such a good idea. Okay, that's for another podcast. For another podcast. And for that, anyone out there who is dealing with any issues, any crisis, anything where you feel like you are not enough, maybe identity issues, trying to figure out who you are as a person, you know what? You are uniquely you. There is no one else like you in this entire world. And don't forget that you are simply amazing.